Let's talk technology, shall we? With me for the next half an hour, I've got gadget detective Fevzi Turkalp. If you've got a question for him, get in touch. 0808 100 5 100, the phone number. You can also text the word Barks in your message to 81333. We'll run through some of your questions in a little while. First of all, let's talk about the tech story of the week then, Fevzi, which relates to Elon Musk, as always. What's he been up to this time?
He's put something in a pig, but in a scientific way. He's,
right.
I should be careful how I say this.
I wasn't expecting you to say that, but go on. Well,
to be honest, neither was I, but there we are. Elon Musk has unveiled a pig called Gertrude, and he's implanted a coin-sized computer chip into its brain.
Can I just clarify that Gertrude is a real pig? Versus
Gertrude
a robotic
a real
pig. Okay, fine.
She's a real, and she's a real cutie as well. Mm. But now she is a cyborg pig because she's part pig and part computer.
Okay.
They've put a computer chip in a brain, effectively, or on the surface of the brain, so that they can monitor about 1,000 neurons. And what they're trying to do is detect the brain activity of those neurons over a period of time, and it's transmitted from the head of the pig to a computer. Now, that's the first step in being able to allow. Well, they want to do human trials with this. The eventual goal is to be able to have a computer and a human brain communicate without us needing keyboards or mice or speech input or anything like that. So we will enhance our brains and our cognitive capability immeasurably, because instead of needing an education, you'll just have a connection to a giant computer. So just like now, you know, people don't have to remember facts and figures because they can just, you know, Google it effectively. But just imagine if instead of needing to make a phone call, you can be telepathic. You can just think it and the message will be received by someone else, because effectively the brain activity will be digitized, sent over the internet and decoded at the other end, just like think of a fax machine. It scans a document at one end into digits, it sends it over a phone line and it recreates that document at the other end. That's telepathy. Now just imagine that you can control things as well. Let's say you want to control you want to pilot a vehicle by thought. So it's thought control and thought-based communication.
Does that not then... Is there not a suggestion, though, with all of that, that somehow the brain could be influenced by the computer? Because then things start to get dangerous, don't they?
Well, they're integrated. I mean, that's... we're looking a little way ahead, and this is a step on the... But I'm just trying to give listeners an idea of what the end game of this is to be. The end game of this is to augment ourselves and our brain ability. So yes, we can communicate. That's a nice add-on. But it is, let's say you need to know something. You can just look it up and your brain will make the request, like we do a Google search now. Or let's say we want to enhance our capabilities, we want to enhance our visual acuity or our hearing or anything like that. These things can be done. You can feed images. You could have new senses. You could have the ability to see in the dark, because you'd have a sensor that can see in the dark and then feeds it to where your optical nerve would feed. So this is. There are some people that believe we are the last generation of pure humans, and that in the future we will be literally cyborg, because we will be part machine, part human. And some people think that this is the only way to stay ahead of AI and stop it wiping us out, is to keep up with it. So it's all very, it depends on your point of view. That can be very scary. It can be very exciting. My comment would be, what could possibly go wrong?
Yes. I mean, that is the thing, isn't it? Well, I guess we'll see. I think we're a few years off reaching that end point at the moment, but essentially it's all starting with a pig.
It's already
right
starting.
Now.
There was an experiment done, not with a brain implant, but they used an MRI scanner on patients that were locked in. They were not brain dead, but they had no way of communicating. Mm. And they managed to ask people in that medical situation questions, and they scanned their brain whilst they were effectively mentally answering the question.
Yeah.
And with a reasonably high degree of accuracy, they were able to consistently get the same reply to the same questions.
That's interesting. I mean, it does open the door to all sorts of medical breakthroughs, I suppose, with something like that, with stroke patients who are rendered, you know, speechless, immobile, that kind of thing.
Yes.
But as I said, it's a few years off before we reach that stage, I guess.
It is, but it's probably not as far as you think. And also, Elon Musk is talking about being able to cure diseases like dementia.
That's a bold claim, isn't it? Let's face it.
It is, and that's good PR for him, I guess. But you know, you could conceive of a circumstance where, if you can augment brain function, then maybe you don't cure the underlying dementia, but maybe you make up for it, and that people can continue to have decent lives.
Well, it remains to be seen what happens next, I suppose. We're going to talk about your gadgets of the week in a moment. We were just talking a few moments ago about the pig that's been fitted with a chip in its brain, and we're talking about the implications of that going forward. Mark, the postman in Fleet, has scared himself with this. He texts to say, what if you got hacked whilst having the chip in your brain, a bit like a driverless car and being hacked? I don't think you need to worry about it just yet, Mark. It's still quite a long way off, probably beyond our lifetime, actually. Now, Fevzy's with me. Let's talk about the gadgets of the week. We're going to start off with a smartphone, Fevzy.
Okay, the smartphone is it's from a company that a lot of people won't know. It's called Xiaomi. It's a Chinese brand, XIAOMI.
Okay.
We're not so familiar with it in this country, but actually, if I told you they're the third biggest manufacturers of smartphones in the world, you know, you'd be surprised. It's just that, you know, they're not a big brand here, but they are becoming one increasingly.
Yeah.
They've launched quite an interesting phone. It's called the Redmi 9, REDMI number 9.
Mm.
It's a smartphone. It looks like an expensive smartphone. It does most of what an expensive smartphone would do. It's got a large screen, over 6.5-inch screen, good quality camera on it, a battery that will last you 2 days without needing to be recharged.
Wow.
You know, pretty well, you know, good specs. Oh, the memory is upgradable, unlike iPhones where, you know, when you run out of memory, you have to buy a new phone. With this one, you can pop a memory card into it. But it's £135.
Wow. Okay. Now, I mean, that's a big difference from some of the more expensive phones on the market. A huge difference.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you can. I mean, obviously, you know, there are differences. But for a top flight flagship phone, you can pay £1,500 these days.
Yeah.
You know, easily 1,000. And this phone, obviously, it doesn't have all of those bells and whistles, but it doesn't shame itself either. I would say under, say, £300, £350, you'd struggle to find something a lot better than this. Particularly if the battery life is important to you. The screen is nice. It's got a fingerprint sensor. It's got face unlocking. It's got the latest version of Bluetooth. It's got what's called near-field communication chip, which means, you know, you can tap it to go through, you know, you can do payments, you know, with near-field communication just by tapping your phone. And it's got an infrared blaster in it as well. So with the right software, it'll double as a remote control for your TV set. So it's really quite versatile. And as I say, you know, list price is a bit higher, but I looked online this morning on a well-known website named after a South American river, and they were selling it for £135,
wow.
Which for a phone with 64 gigabytes of memory, 4 gigabytes of RAM, that's all very good, but expandable with a gorgeous screen, as I say, you know, a 6.53-inch full high-definition screen. It's got several cameras on it. The main camera is good. I was less fond of the other cameras, but it doesn't matter. One good camera is enough.
Yeah.
It's got decent selfie camera, splash proof, just nice all round.
Okay.
Weighs just under 200 grams. So I've given it 4 stars out of 5 because it's amazing value for money.
Brilliant. Okay, so that's
Xiaomi Redmi 9.
That's the gadget of the week. We're getting quite a few questions, so I want to run through these.
Sure.
Sally in Basingstoke says, my son's computer is infected with malware, but I'm not even sure what that is. Can you help? What should I do?
Okay, so malware is a generic term that means programs that are up to no good on your computer. So they can be what are called computer viruses. They can be Trojans. You know, the differences are technical, but the point is they can do harm to your data and to your privacy and to your financial standing. So they could, for example, encrypt all your data and then ransom it back to you, you know, or they could steal your data and impersonate you, or they could steal your data and empty your bank account. So it's very important that you get rid of any malware on a system. I'm assuming that by the fact you know you have malware is that you have some sort of antivirus on there. You can run an antivirus program. Norton Internet Security, ESET is another one, ESET, Kaspersky is another. All of those are good. A lot of those have got free versions that you don't have to install, but you can run them online and they will just scan through the web. And then there's other sort of malware programs that, that you can run free called Malware Bytes, Bytes spelt with Y. All of those programs, I would start using them to install. I would disconnect the machine from the internet when it doesn't need to be connected, whilst you do some of those scans where you can do them offline, you should do. The safest thing to do is to wipe the machine down and reinstall everything, but that's like a day's work.
Yeah, I mean, that is worst case scenario, but that you're saying that's the textbook way to deal with it, really.
Yeah, but the other thing that I would say to you is, because malware can be a gateway for more malware to come, because it can open the back doors, as it were, the other thing that I would do is copy across all your data onto an external drive. You will later have to scan that data to make sure it's clean, but it, you know, at least have a backup copy of it, because when you're trying to remove malware, sometimes things go wrong, sometimes the malware fights back and wipes the machine, so get the data off there. If you wanted to be really safe, let's say you're running an old hard drive and it's slow and you've been thinking about upgrading it to one of these new solid state super fast drives, this might be a good time to do it. You can take out the old drive, pop in a new hard drive, and yes, you have to install the operating system and everything fresh, but if you're thinking of doing it anyway, this is the ideal time to do it, because then you can just connect the old drive as an external drive and scan the data on it, make sure it's clean, and then just copy back the clean stuff.
Okay.
So that's another way to approach it. It might be an opportunity as well.
Okay. We've only got 2 minutes to answer this next question, but it's something I have also been wondering, so I'm keen to know your answer to this. This is from Brian in Hungerford, who says, Fevzi, I love the idea of these smart thermostats, but I don't know which to get. Any recommendations? So I'm guessing these are the sort of devices where you can control the temperature in your own home and how when your heating goes off, when it comes on, that kind of thing.
That's right. I mean, so there's various ones. I mean, I suppose the Google ones are well respected. It's partly down to, if you want to have a smart home that isn't just smart thermostats, and let's say you've already got Google Nest cameras or other Google devices, then it makes sense to stay in the same ecosystem. The Google stuff is good. It's very effective. It's quite clever. The features that I would look for are things like ones where they detect you on your way home, and when you get to within a certain distance of home, it can turn on your heating, or if there's no activity in the home, it may decide to turn off the heating, that sort of thing. I mean, I quite like the Google stuff, to be honest, as long as you're all right. But bear in mind, all these smart devices, there's always a balance between convenience and privacy. For something to be smart and do its job well, it kind of has to know about you and your movements and what you do. You know, it's a bit like, imagine having a really efficient PA. that PA, to do their job well, will have to know you and your movements, and you know, you don't have much privacy from a really good PA.
So it depends how comfortable you are with that, basically.
Have to trust them. Yeah, and it's the same with having cameras in your home. It's great for security. You know, I've got a camera doorbell. I not only know when someone is approaching my door even before they ring the doorbell, I know who they are. It does facial recognition. So if there's someone in my home that shouldn't be in my home, I know about it.
Yeah.
I can also talk to them through the doorbell and say, you know, I can pretend to be home when I'm not and say, just pop the package down and I'm just bathing the kids or something, and I'll be down in a minute. And you don't have to tell them that you're on holiday in the Bahamas, you know. So there's all these benefits, but again, it's always, you know, we were discussing it before with implants, it's huge potential benefits, but you know, there are some downsides as well.
Okay, so that's from Brian in Hungerford, Sally in Basingstoke. If anyone else has any questions, how can they get in touch with you, Fevzi?
Twitter is the best way, at Gadget Detective. Come say hello, I'll do my best to help you.
Marvellous stuff. A pleasure as always. That's Gadget Detective Fevzi Turkalp on BBC Radio Berkshire.